Witnesses of Christ as the Messiah. Commentary for the October 26, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson. By Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46. I remember that as a child, the popular activity with me and my peers was to ridicule religion. Do not get me wrong, we attended church, but for most of us, our parents did not. Since they did not respect religion, it seemed natural for us to carry on the tradition along with our friends. While our parents were more enamored of drinking parties as a weekend activity, we always had neighbors who were volunteering to take us to church. Doubtless they had tremendous patience for children who showed little respect for holy things, because I remember we attended weekly. While our parents made sure we were fed and clothed, and I would not be here today but for their providing what they could, alcohol often competed for family necessities. This meant that rare treats offered by those taking us to church and at church events were inducements to keep us coming. However, that did not suppress the sassy nature common to preteen and early teen children that manifested itself as disrespect and profane responses to kindness from adults. We were trying to understand this thing called life while pretending we already had a firm grasp on that understanding. It was not until I became a mid-teen that this changed. I raised my hand in response to an altar call given by the adult leader at a Nazarene teen meeting at a church member's house. He led me through the sinner's prayer in the den of the house while the rest of the children partied. At first, I yearned to be partying with my friends, but as I recited that prayer, something happened to me. I could feel the change. My disrespect of religion melted away and was replaced with a hunger deep within my being to learn all I could about Jesus. Naturally, the preeminent source for that is the Bible, so I began studying it. I would devour the Sunday school lesson each week, but it left me with questions. Questions the Sunday school teacher could not answer. As I was well known for my disrespect prior to this, he may have thought this was simply more of the same. I came across several different Bible study courses through the mail and tried different ones, but I quickly saw that their interpretations were fanciful and lost interest. Eventually, through what I consider miraculous circumstances, which would require more time and space than I have in this short commentary, I found my way to the Voice of Prophecy Bible Correspondence course out of Los Angeles, California. Much of what I studied harmonized with the Bible very well, and I completed several courses. I do not know if they considered me some kind of prodigy, but they were soon sending me as many as 4 lessons at a time, which I completed and quickly returned. I began asking questions about what I was learning at Sunday school and at the teen meetings. I was not aware that very few shared the hunger to grow spiritually that I felt. I was soon banned from the teen meetings by the adult leader. The pastor of the Nazarene church seemed more willing to help me. He promised to address my questions in his sermons. Each week after church, I would ask him when he was going to answer some of my questions. His answer every week was, "Next week." After several weeks of this, I began to recognize the dissimulation, and discouraged, I stopped attending. The main difficulty was the Sabbath versus Sunday question. I cannot resolve the spiritual dissonance over this issue. If Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, why did everyone function as though Sunday, the first day of the week, was Sabbath? I almost gave up on church completely at that point. Until then, I had been walking over a mile to church each Sunday, since my parents had no desire to drive me, and I was not old enough to drive myself. Imagine my surprise when I discovered that a church of Sabbath worshipers was only 2 blocks from our house. I resolved to attend the following Saturday. When I attended, they welcomed my questions and gifted me a copy of Uriah Smith's commentary, Daniel and the Revelation. I devoured that book and even wrote a book review for my high school English class. Eventually, after several miraculous incidents and the kindness of loving Adventist Christians, I was baptized into the church in El Paso, Texas, where I was stationed in the Army. I have spent over half a century learning since then. I obtained a degree from Walla Walla College with majors in both theology and biblical languages. I learned textual criticism of the ancient texts under Dr. Sakai Kubo, and his Greek lexicon has a revered place in my biblical languages library. I pastored for a brief spell after college until my wife's illness made it necessary to resign and care for her. It is an assumption that those who major in theology are destined to be pastors, and some might see this as a derailing of my calling. However, my gifts are more intellectual than pastoral. While I mean no offense to those who have chosen to be pastors, it is not my calling. Looking back over the past 30 years, my calling has been confirmed to operate this global ministry with a purpose to encourage others to question their faith and dig deeper than just what their denomination is telling them. This is needful even for Seventh-day Adventists. Much of what the denomination believes and practices is solid and biblically based, but not everything. This is true for every denomination, and when one begins prying around those things that are taken for granted to be true, it can create hostility, just as I experienced in the Nazarene Church over the Sabbath questions I asked. It is a sad fact that we are far too often the Pharisees that Jesus warned about, and when it is pointed out to us, the hairs on our neck rise up, and we are tempted to say and do unkind things, as the youth leader said to me very early on in my Christian pilgrimage. Like the disciples, we want to protect Jesus from those who do not think like us. But that is exactly the opposite of what Jesus wants. When Nathanael challenged Philip's portrayal of Jesus as a Messiah, Philip did not bristle or walk away in a huff. He simply said, "Come and see." He allowed Nathanael to determine what is truth for himself. When he met Jesus and Jesus opened his heart to Nathanael, Nathanael did the same to Jesus, finding what he desired and was seeking. We argue about many things in our churches, yes, even in Adventism. We argue over ordaining women. We argue about what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. Even though we recognize the biblical Sabbath, we even argue over how to keep the Sabbath special. We argue about music. Sadly, we also argue about politics. The danger with all the arguing for any denomination is that we get so wound up proving we are right and our brothers and sisters are wrong that we forget our purpose is the same as Philip's. We are to invite others to come and see Jesus. Even in the church are those who have not met him and struggle with issues of faith and commitment to a relationship with him. Approximately 60 years ago, it was not church doctrine that changed my life. It was a simple encounter on my knees in that den with Jesus. Through the decades, I discovered a profound truth that if we get that right, if we enter into a relationship with Jesus, everything will fall into place as it was meant to. This does not mean life will become perfect. It does not mean there will not be suffering and setbacks. This is the way of the world we live in. The Bible tells us why this is so. My first wife suffered for years with progressive multiple sclerosis. Death was a respite from her suffering. Despite that, she had peace through the suffering as she looked forward to a better future through Jesus. My current wife suffers from horrendous migraines that no medication can completely resolve. But she also looks forward to a time when she will be free of all of that. I also must deal with chronic illness and pain. But amid the suffering I know from personal experience, it is possible to find peace through Jesus. It is a sad message of despair the world offers sufferers. And who does not suffer to one degree or another? Because of this, I know my own suffering is nothing special. Without that relationship with Jesus, those conditions can bring us to alcohol and drugs, and when those fail us, as they will, to the ultimate refuge of despair, where we are tempted to end our own life and bring an end to the suffering. But our lives do not have to be like that. It is still possible to accept Philip's invitation to come and see Jesus. I'm glad I did. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds of other commentaries, podcasts, articles, and links to books written by the author. Once again, that website is www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.